Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions.
And what's up? Thank you guys for listening today. So we got another little bit of a, I don't know if it's, you want to call it a hot button topic here.
We definitely have opinions on it. So
it's going to be opinionated, but again, I would hope that it was more like more of a discussion.
Yeah, guys, that's the whole point of our podcast, is to encourage you to chase your dreams and go for it. But also, these are just our thoughts, and sometimes they're not even our thoughts. It's just for brainstorming, we just kind of start talking and then we'll workshop our ideas. And then even after the podcast, even our last one, like I know I can't speak of the future, but I'm gonna go home and process this stuff and go, wait, do I actually think that? What do I actually think? And that's what this is all about, just getting our brains working, not being afraid to talk about things that are hard or rough, and being able just to communicate and then have dialogue about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing that you could do, is to get people talking. I mean, that's what theater and art should do anyway.
Yep.
And that's what we hope that we can do through the podcast, is just create discussion and just, I don't know, advance your thoughts a little bit, communicate your thoughts.
Yep. Who's our guest today, Mike? Who do we have with us before we tell them our topic?
We got Colby Banks back with us again.
Welcome back,
Colby. She was just in the last episode we recorded, and so we just asked her to hang out, sit in on this one again. And then we've got Kathy Flores.
Hey, Kathy, welcome back. Might be our most frequented flyer here.
True.
Yes. Her and Dustin, I think, are pretty close.
Yeah, Dustin did three.
This is her third, I think, right? Or fourth? I don't know. She's done a few.
I think this will be her third.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah. So, you know, here's kind of what I was thinking about is, you know, when I was working at, a school, and I was doing the teaching theater there, mm-hmm. and I put on the show Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I then got, called in by the school office for invited in for a meeting with the principal. Mind you, the show was approved. They knew what I was doing. I wasn't doing the show in secret. But they had a written reprimand for me for putting Hamlet on. And it, surprised me, because at the same point in time in the English class, they're reading Hamlet. And no problem there. But the moment the script goes from the page up to the stage.
Did you write this script, or was it the published version? Hamlet.
No, I didn't write Hamlet. That's by William Shakespeare.
I know, but I didn't know if you were doing your own version.
Yeah, no.
Because you do your own versions all the time.
Well, this was the real deal.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, the same thing that the English teacher was teaching, but I staged it, and then called me. I couldn't believe it. They've got this reprimand written there for me, because I put this show on and there was, murder in it. And
that's Hamlet.
I don't know. Yeah, that's Hamlet. I felt almost like, man, do these people, do they not know what's taught in the English class? Why is it okay for them to read it? And then it just got me, thinking for this topic, what is okay in, a school setting or an educational setting to stage? Like, where does the line get pushed? And I guess, with that school, they felt there was a lot of murders in that show, which is, speaks very loudly to the theme of the play,
mm-hmm.
Right there. But yeah, it's cool, because we're all parents except for Colby, and I'm sure you will one day, so we can say, what would you be okay with? But I don't know, Kathy, we just start with you. Where do you feel is the line? Like, if your kids were, going to be taught something by a teacher, but in a school, what would you be comfortable with? Now, I think in previous discussions you'd mentioned you're not huge on censorship.
No, absolutely not.
No. Okay, tell us why you think that.
Well, I feel like it's really important to communicate with your kids, and for them to always feel comfortable to ask questions, to always feel comfortable to discuss anything. And they're going to see all kinds of things out there in the world. Sheltering them is good to a certain point, but they're going to have to leave the nest, and they're going to have to make their own choices, their own decisions. And so what choices do they make? Who do they go to for advice? Are they going to come to me? Are they going to ask me a question about something they don't understand? And I feel like art, there is all kinds of art out there. And a school has to make a decision about what art is appropriate for the children to learn. But at the same time, that discussion, who makes the decision? Should the parents be involved? Should the school board be involved? And if somebody makes a mistake, if somebody gets offended, it's really hard to say. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Where the line is. And so, Nathan, we're like in a interesting position because it's like, you know, and again, it's parents, but we're also artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know about you. My kids cannot come see everything that I do.
Right. No, that's why I said that even this podcast, like, it's very hard for me to have, because there's a part of art that I think expression is good, but where do you draw the line? At what age do you go? Like, my kids, I would not let them see hair. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't want them to see nudity on stage. Like, I don't want them to see that. And there's certain, I do that as a broad thing, but there's certain topics that I use this analogy, and I don't know where I got it from or stole it from, but I use this analogy of, I put a bunch of books in a suitcase and tell them to pick it up, and they can't lift it. And I go over with one hand and pick it up, and I tell them it's too heavy for you right now. There'll become a time in their life where they could pick that suitcase up with all those books. It's not too heavy for them. So it's hard to identify that. And there's a lot of stuff in this world at schools and churches and other places that I'm like, no, that's not what I think is a good foundation for my kids, because it's too heavy for them right now.
Did you come up with that suitcasing yourself?
I honestly think I did, but I don't know if I stole it.
That's pretty good.
Well, I don't know if I stole it or not, but I've used it on my kids since they were little. But the truth is, that is true. And as the parent, I want to be able to say, hey, here's a good foundation. Let's build on that. My kids come to me, like Kathy was saying, they come to me with everything. They tell me when they screw up, when they mess up. They don't lie. Not yet. I'm sure they're older and they're sneaking around boyfriends and I'll kill them. That's recorded. Just kidding. but the truth is, there'll come a time where maybe they don't do that. But my job now, until they're 18 or 50, if I'm lucky, is to come to me for those things. So building that foundation is very important. So sometimes with all the stuff in the news, and we don't need to mention names about people because we don't want to get sued or anything, but there's a lot of things happening with schools and stuff about agendas or storylines or material being presented. Well, that's hard. And it's a fine line because, well, for 50% of those kids, that's okay. But for 50% of those other kids, it's not okay. So it's a scary position to be in. And I have that here. We do a age rating thing for all our shows we put on. 13 and older. What the heck does that mean? Like, one of my 13-year-olds is wicked mature. The other one isn't. I mean, not talking about mine. Mine are 12 and 14, so I'm not being truthful there. But all kids are different. We're developed differently. Mm-hmm. I'm as mature as a 15-year-old still, and then I'm 40. So it just depends, I think. But then who are we to draw the line, and where do you draw the line? So it is a hard topic. And there is shows where I'm like, no, my girls, I did not want them to see Spelling Bee. And it just has one thing about an erection song, and it's
unfortunate.
As a boy, it's unfortunate. Yes, but it's true though, because as a 14-year-old boy, I remember going, "What the heck? Go away!" So, but for them being 11 and 13 at the time,
and
get out. I don't want you to know what erection means. Uh-huh. Like, not now. There'll come a time where you're gonna know, and I'm gonna be throwing up that you know that. Like,
so when you were 14, you're like, "Go away, go away," and now you're like, "Come back."
Yeah, please. Where'd you go? Where'd you go? So, no, I don't have that problem, Mike. But anyway, let's not talk about that. But please, kids, don't listen to this podcast.
I guess we need a disclaimer on the podcast now.
18 and older. But so it is a hard line, and I don't know where to draw it.
I see, like, what you did there.
Hard line, I got you. Oh, God. So, you're fired. Well, I guess I can't fire you. We're equal. Okay, you're hired. Anyways, It's a fine line, and it's hard. Where do you draw that line? What's appropriate with art? Hamilton, is an art piece. It's a masterpiece. It's iconic. It's legendary. I mean, so where do you draw that line? What age is appropriate for that? I don't know that answer. And I struggle that with daily, with even YouTube, letting my girls watch YouTube. I'm like, what are you watching? They show me, like, it's just stupid. Sometimes I'm like, no, they literally said the F word 72 times in the last 10 minutes. Like, shut it off. So it's where do you draw that line?
And then there's so much interesting about it, because what theater or art in, you know, just in general, it's going to try to speak to the truth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you want to show that truth, like you said, okay, we want to show this honestly, and we want to, you know, teach honestly. And then, like you said, it becomes very, very heavy at some point in time. I mean, I was reading this article on Vincent Van Gogh and Starry Night the other day, and just like, you know, what an amazing painter, like beautiful. Starry Night's one of the most prolific pieces of artwork, as the audience was talking about. And then, you know, you study Vincent Van Gogh and cutting off the ear, and, you know, just like, whoa, what is this? And it, you know, you want to show kids the beautiful part, but it's linked. It's linked to much heavier parts.
And I also think there's a fine line that we don't want to just give our kids, or even adults or audiences that come see it, we don't want them to just have the fluff. That's not real life. Mm-hmm. In real life, there's struggles. That's real life. And I think sometimes people come to me and complain, like even with Spelling Bee, I'm offended that you have that song there. Well, unfortunately, it's real life. Like when you were 14, dude, you probably had one, and it probably happened to you. Like, it's real life. And I think there's that fine line. I try to justify some shows. There's like Rocky Horror. I don't know that I'll ever do this show here, but maybe. But I don't know how I'll justify that. Like, I'll be like, it's just entertaining, you know. So my kids won't see it. My mom, I'm not going to invite her to come see that. I'll hear this whole show. Nathan Robert. The whole time. That's what I'll hear. Nathan Robert. I'm like, Mom, I know.
You know, I did that show and wore a wedding dress and smoked a cigar.
I believe you.
And
you do that every Thursday.
It's Tuesdays now. Thursdays got busy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to show through art, struggles are real. Mm-hmm. Things are tough. And where do you go with it and the resolve of that? Sometimes it resolves, sometimes it doesn't. It just still sucks.
I remember as a young teenager that my dad, he went and saw Saving Private Ryan. And it's a rated R movie. It's a very graphic film, a war film. And he saw it. He enjoyed the film so much. He said, Kathy, you need to see this film. You need to experience this. You need to understand what war is. So he took me to that film. It was, it made a huge impression on me. But I am very glad I saw that film. I did feel it was an important film to see, but my dad was there alongside me, ready to answer questions, supporting me in watching the film, and of course asked me if I wanted to go and experience that with him. And I do feel like that is something. It's eye-opening to certain pieces of art help us understand things better.
I agree too.
Like was stated before, I'm the only one here without kids, so maybe I shouldn't have so much of a weigh-in on this topic, but I graduated from the school Mike is talking about, and I remember how strict that school was. We weren't allowed to do any stage kisses in high school.
Well, this is actually
it was a different school?
Different school, even. Yeah, this crazy. Got written up about 10 years ago.
Oh, that's crazier. Well, either way, I've gone to a really strict school where they believed in censorship and the arts and things like that. But I also grew up with my elder grandparents, and they always taught me their number one goal as a parent is to be approachable. And I think what your dad did is the best way to do it is, this is something that I think you should know about. This is something, and it's easier to talk about if it's in an art form. So let's talk about it together. Let's come together. I have a question for all the parents in the room, everybody else, I guess. When I was 17, I saw Spring Awakening, which is a very graphic sexual show. That show, the original version, The Awakening of Spring, is about 13-year-olds. As somebody whose kids are either at that age or approaching that age, would you want them to talk about something like that as graphically? Would you want to go with them? Would you just say, absolutely not, we're not even having this discussion? Because to me, my takeaway from seeing that show at the age of 16 was, if we don't talk about it, we'll never understand the consequences of it. And just because you don't talk about it doesn't mean you're not going to do it. So what are your takes?
I'll speak first. for my oldest daughter, maybe around 14, 15, I think it depends on the maturity of your kid, where they're at mentally, what they can handle and what they're approaching. Because I know in eighth grade for me, I was already being a pretty bad boy in eighth grade. So knowing that about myself and my friends probably depends on the maturity level and where they're at in their life, what's going on, what I want that. Because Spring Awakening, those topics are literally on YouTube. Like, all those topics are at your fingertips, on your brain, like, hooked up to your headphones. I mean, so my short answer is, it just depends on the maturity level and where they're at mentally and where they're at socially. And then, but I would not be opposed to that. But also, I don't know that I would offer it as a form of entertainment. I would probably offer it as, like,
as a teaching moment. A
teaching experience.
Yeah.
And the music's awesome.
Music is great.
So, Mike, what is your thoughts?
Yeah. I don't think I would take my girls to that.
Would you let your wife
take them?
Yeah, like, if you said, I'm not going to go see it with you, I don't want to be in that, because you only have girls. I can understand as a father being like, I don't want to be the one to teach my girls about sex. Would you let your wife be like, all right, well, I'm going to show them the show?
I just don't know if that's the way I would want them to learn.
Okay, I can see that.
And almost like shirking the responsibility. Got an uncomfortable topic. We're not going to talk about it. It's Spring Awakening tickets. You'll learn everything you
and
need
to
know.
And that's why I think I said, depending where they're at, mature-wise, like, we've had that discussion with Natalie already. The other thing is, we wanted to beat the punch a little bit because it's so accessible that I'm like, I want to tell you a little bit of what the truth is, because you're going to hear all kinds of lies. If you love me, you'll do this. This is what you're supposed to do when you're a boyfriend or girlfriend. Uh-huh. And all these lies that I probably have used or said in the past that I'm like, no, like, that's not accurate. But it is hard, Mike. That is hard. Like, you want to, your job as, I'll just say, as a dad or as a parent in general, you want to protect your kids as much, as long as you can.
Of course.
And that's, and your brain goes, oh, what's protecting them? What's not? And that's hard. And that's why, even with the schools, what they're teaching or not, you're like, no, that's not okay for this one, but that one's fine. That one can handle it. So it's very scary. It's a scary.
And here's another huge part of it, is that every family's culture is different, and I saw kids, you know, the other day, and they're just dropping F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb, and at first I was like, man, it's not, like, disrespectful. And I'm like, I don't think that they think they're being disrespectful. I don't think that they consider that a disrespectful word. I think that they hear that at home so much, and in their family culture, it's just a word that they use. It's it's like, you know, just used to pack a punch with something. They're not trying to. And so, you know, what is extremely offensive to one culture, not at all to the next. They won't even know that they're being offensive. I had a conversation with somebody not long ago, and I can't even remember who it was. But we were talking about a teacher that came over from Australia and was teaching in America, and he started, you know, dropping F bombs in class, and the students were like, oh, and they went home, told parents, and, you know, he got complaints, and he was like, what did I do? Like, what did you, and he had no clue, even when they said, dude, you got some complaints here, because in Australia, you know, they were saying that it's not considered, you know, like, the horrible word it is over here.
Right.
And so he came over here, and he literally had no clue. And they're like, okay, what did you say? Well, I said, you said that? Yeah. What's the matter with it? Okay. Here you go.
Yeah.
You know, hold off on here. So, I mean, sometimes it's, like I said, just, you know, what is really upsetting for one culture may not be for another one, but then you have art that presents it. And so, you know, some people are going to be looking at it and saying, oh, that art is just trash. It's just pure trash. And you have another group like, well, no, it's actually painting a really realistic picture of what's going on. And if, you know, in the life right now.
And to tie it into the theater world and just art as a whole, just since we own theaters, I think the biggest thing would be to be transparent with your audience, communicate with them, let them know, hey, like in your little blurb email or on your post, or do like a little video before, and be like, hey, this is a heavy subject. This is going to be covering all this. Don't bring your mom. Don't bring your kids. Don't bring whatever this may offend or affect them in a negative way. Don't bring them. But if this is a topic you like, come on out. Let's do it. And I think transparency is what's probably the answer as far as our podcast goes. Just being transparent, because I think you could present it all. It could be about homosexuality. It could be about unicorns. It could be about race. It could be whatever you want as a producer director. But I think just being transparent, going, hey, and that's what I learned with Spelling Bee, even though that's a kind of a more funnier topic, I need to be a little more honest with them and go, you know, this is probably a little bit 13 and older or 17 and older, bring a parent. Now, if they come with their kids and they're still been, we posted it, it's there, it's on our website, you chose this, it's on you at that point. You can still be nice and say, hey, I'm sorry you're offended by it. We have other shows in our season. You can still be political or be genuinely political with them. But I think just being transparent, because I think even Saving Private Ryan, or there are certain shows that I saw, even my brother, my family grew up, were Christians, and we grew up, and there was even the crucifixion of Christ. Like, we were growing up with, he's risen, he's not on the cross. And like, seeing that for the first time physically outside of the Jesus movies, seeing that on stage, we were in a production, that was like deep for me, like, whoa. But it made me put true perspective on the guards beating him or crucifying him. You know, it was a heavy thing. And even when we did, Michael, you wrote Jackie Robinson, and I was in that show, seeing how the abuse that Jackie went through and that he overcame, and this, the perseverance and the dedication, the strength he had, seeing all that gave me a little bit of perspective on it. So I think it's important to show art in its true form. But I think just being transparent and being honest with your audience and your cast is what matters. And I think that's really where the question is, what art's good to teach? All of it. Just be transparent in what you're showing. If you're into a nude show and you want to do that, say 18 or 21 and older, this is what this show is. Do it if that's really what you want to do and that's what you want to change, effect, move people through and with.
You know, when you're talking about Jackie Robinson,
yeah,
and when I was writing that show, one of the hardest things is, you know, what exactly do we show?
Right.
Knowing
it was worse than you were showing.
Yeah. Right. He went through so many terrible things.
Right.
And yet there's children coming. And, right. And it was an educational theater. Elementary kids were being bussed in. And the thing that we ran into is, yeah, how much of his life can we show and how much can we not show? Because if you don't show the stuff, it's watering down his story.
All in 1 hour,
it's,
too.
It's almost a disrespect to him, because you know it's like, okay, well, we can't show that because that's offensive, and this is a little too much, and let's not tell that part of a story. And by the time you've cut his life away, it's like, dude, what are we showing that even made him the superhero that he is? We've taken all the aspects out because we don't want to offend anybody. We're not even really telling his story honestly anymore. But, you know, also, because that is a very valid argument, on the other side, you're telling it to children.
And I don't think you took away meat at all. I think it covered it really well, especially for the age level we were presenting it to. I mean, the neglect, the segregation was covered, the spitting, the lack of respect for human life, that was covered greatly. And I think that's a good example of doing art and being transparent, but also being able to reach them and show that. And I don't think we definitely covered a very specific part of his life too. Yep. Just the baseball aspect of it, really. The majors, really. But that's just one example of that, that I think is a sign of art, that you can do it tastefully, but still get that across. It depends who your market is. And if you were going to adults, there could have been different words. There could have been a little bit more intense fights and the aggressive stuff like that. So I think as long as you're transparent, I really believe you could do any type of art. As long as you're honest with your audience and not go, gotcha, we're all nude now. Like, what?
You know, and it's funny because we really talked a lot about that. But before staging that, the first performance, mm-hmm. like, what will we show? I feel like we discussed that thoroughly.
We did.
With the audiences in mind.
And the actors that were playing, Jackie and the pastor. we talked about that. We sat down and talked to them about it and got their perspective. And I think that's, again, that word transparency.
Do you remember when we did it at Mount Sentinel College, mm-hmm. and that the actor named Warren, mm-hmm.
Kind of lived
that. Yeah, he lived it. And what we weren't expecting, this stunned me. And it, you know, frankly, embarrassed me quite a bit. Because we were reading it, and it hit to the point where Jackie Robinson wasn't allowed in the restaurant. And by the end, Warren had broken down in tears. And here he is, you know, this older actor, you know, probably in his 60s, and he's just flat out weeping at the table. And then he finally, you know, came around and said it reminded him of when he was, you know, not even 10 years old. I can't remember the exact age, but it was maybe 9 or 10. And he wanted to go roller skating. Mm-hmm. And his family could not afford roller skates, but his parents worked and saved up, and for his birthday gave him a pair of roller skates. And then with his friends, he went down to the roller rink for the first time on Saturday, and they let all his friends in, and they wouldn't let him in because he was black.
Yeah.
And he's standing outside with his pair of skates. And here he is, like, 55 years later, still carrying that baggage with him. And he just broke down, and, like, you know, that 10-year-old version of him just starts crying. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, this is why we're doing this. Telling stories.
He hugged us every show. After every show, he'd come up and get a side hug and go, thanks for doing this. Thank you for doing this. Every show. He also got after me because we're in the dressing room. Well, one of the classrooms in the back changing. Mm-hmm. And I forget who it was, but I was joking around because I was the villain or the bad guy, and I got called Cracker a lot. Mm-hmm. And he grabbed me one day after all the guys left, and who was our Jackie? Or who was Jackie that time?
Curtis Baxter.
So Curtis walks out and goes, all right, see you out there, Cracker, joking around. I said, yep, I'm a Cracker. He grabbed me by the arm, pulls me, and he came, not aggressive, but enough that I was like, and he goes, that's just as gross as a word. He goes, that's gross. He goes, let's not joke about that. And it humbled me because we were making light of something that was so, I mean, and Curtis was African-American. I'm a white boy. We're playing around. But he was like, he goes, all that is just showing how much disrespect we have for each other. He goes, this isn't a joke. And I was like, it kind of humbled me. And I went to walk out, and he goes, I'm not mad. He goes, let's just save it for the stage. I said, done. Like, dude, like, you got it. But it was just, it's how real that was to him. And Art did that. And so many people, every show, were crying. People just were in awe of the finale at the end. We were all talking about heroes and being a hero and charging people to be heroes. So it's, anyway. So I think art can be done, which I said 1,000 times, but I think you could do any type of art. Challenge it. I do think it's hard when you get into the school systems and stuff like that. You deal with so many cultures and age range, maturity levels. What is appropriate? I don't know. Like, I have no idea. And I feel sorry for the school districts, the teachers, the people in charge have to figure out what's appropriate for all. I think that's a hard spot to be in.
You know where the hardest thing is for, I think, the school systems, especially the big school systems, is it takes a long time to bring about a change of curriculum. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to go through panels and just, you know, all the different people. Da, 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 da. It takes a long time. Whereas culture is changing every single day.
Well, and people say, write a permission slip. For what? I don't know what you can be offended or upset by. So how do I know, like, can we do Hamilton? Here's a permission slip. Like, at what point, where does that stop? And I don't know. I'd hate to be the decision maker in that.
Yeah, it's like culture's changing every day, and new art coming out every day.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, okay, if the art isn't taught by somebody, which should be the parents, right? I mean, you know, the deeper themes in the art, it should be the parents. But then you run into the huge problems, and I see this all the time. The parents are not doing their thing.
No, and the parents will tell teachers that. Well, you're with my kids 6 hours a day. I go and feed them, put them to bed. I've heard that when I was teaching all the time.
Yeah, and then it leaves it up to the school district to educate, which that should not be, you know, we should partner up with that. And right now, so much full responsibility is falling on things like that. So I guess, you know, if we're just going to sum this up, I guess the one thing that we all had in common is there should be a lot of discussion. beforehand, and a lot more involvement, you know, about the art. Because like Kathy, like you said, it can be absolutely fantastic. When you're led through the process, you're like, look at this. Here's a picture of what this is. This is realistic. This is what it should show.
Well, Colby said even with Spring Awakening, that was enlightening to her. And so I think, obviously, art does that.
It can really... It's something that I think it's a lot easier to broach a subject, but it's also something that I think sticks with people a little more. Mm-hmm. You're more willing to want to talk about it if you're saying, let's talk about these characters instead of let's talk about this real life thing. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, you care about the characters. Mm-hmm. You care about their story. You go on a journey with them, and then you learn while watching them. So, all right. So we're gonna wrap up now. And we want to thank you, Colby. Thank you for coming on again. Kathy, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
And... thank you, John, our sound man.
John, always thank you, buddy, for rocking and making the sound. Having John there. Making me sound good and Mike sound okay. Thank you.
All right. And to our audience, thank you for listening. And if you've got some thoughts on this, too, we'd love to hear the thoughts. We can revisit this episode.
Yeah, and any other questions or any ideas you have for episodes, please let us know. You've been very faithful and good at that, so keep doing it.
All right. Thank you, everyone, so much. And we'll catch you next time on the Upstage and Gentlemen podcast.
Later.